All right. Testing.
Test.
All right. Praise God. And so, yep, I didn't have my microphone on, but we're cooking with bacon now, man. We're doing good. And so help your cholesterol, get it all built up. And so we're in Judges chapter 7. Last time we were in Judges, we were talking about Gideon, and God had given Gideon this great plan to save Israel. Israel had sinned against the Lord, and this is an ongoing pattern that we'll see through the Judges, that God will bless them. He'll save them out of their troubles. Then that judge will pass away, and they'll forget about what that judge did, and then they'll fall right back into their same pattern of sin. Then God will send in an invading army and oppress them, and this oppression right here is through the Midianites, and they're coming, and they're actually raiding the land. They're taking, so Israel was farmers mostly, and so at this time they were farmers, and they would plant their crops, and these Midianites would come in from across the country, and they would just rape the land. They would take all of the crops, they would take all of their cattle, all of the things that they had been growing over the year, and it would leave Israel with nothing, you know. And so you had this problem of these people. But the reason God was allowing this to happen is that the people of God had turned away from the Lord. They had turned away and they started serving other gods. They started serving the Baals and worshiping under the groves. And that was just really, well, it was sin. And God said that you're to have no other gods beside me. I'm supposed to be the one true God, and not supposed to be. He is the one true God. And we're supposed to worship him in fullness of heart and truth. And so God here has been displeased with these group of people for a while. And so he calls Gideon, and he calls him a great man, a great warrior. And he was, God called him that when he was hiding behind a wine vat, trying to get grain out of wheat, you know. He was throwing it up behind the wine. He was all scared that the Midianites were going to come and take the food away from him. And then the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, and he said, "Mighty man of valor, who are you talking about?" "God, me? I'm afraid. Look, I'm hiding behind this bed here. I'm scared. I can't do anything." And God says, "I'm going to deliver Israel through you." And Gideon says, "God, you can't do that. I am the least of all the tribes of Israel. I'm a Benjamite. Okay, a Benjamite sandwich. I have nothing. And not only is my tribe the least in all of Israel, I'm the least of all of my tribe. I'm the least. I'm the littlest. And God, I can't do nothing." God says, "I've anointed you to do this." And so Gideon asks, he says, "Hey, can I go stay right here, fella?" Because he didn't know he was an angel at that time. He just thought he was a prophet. He says, "Stay right here. Let me go prepare a meal for us." And the angel said, "Yeah, I'll wait there." And so he went and he got a young bullock, and he made the soup and the beans, and he got everything prepared. Bread. All right, there's a unleavened bread. He brought all that to him, and the angel said, "Put it on a rock. Put it on there on a rock in a certain order." And when he did that, the angel touched it with his staff, and it was consumed in fire. Gideon said, "Pretty cool, neat trick." Toast. He made toast. And he sucked it right off the rock. Man, there was nothing left. And the angel said, "Hey, Gideon," later on that night, he said, "Hey, Gideon, since I've called you to do this, I need you to do something for me. We talked about this the last time. You need to go to your father's house, and you need to take his best ox and his youngest ox. And you need to go to the altar of Baal that your dad has, and you need to hook up to that, tear it down. And when you tear it down, you cut down the grove that they're worshiping. You take what your dad is worshiping and destroy it." Pretty scary thing for the youngest of the family to do, right? It's a scary thing for anybody who's under the authority of their dad. And the angel says, "Hey, go tear it down, knock it down. And out of the sticks and stuff that you knock it down, you build an altar to me." Amen. "Out of the residue of the old religious system, you build an altar unto me, and you sacrifice the best of the cattle to me. You take the young ox, the one that has all of the potential to grow and to be something, you take that ox and you slaughter it on the sacrifice. You sacrifice it to me." And of course, Gideon was afraid to do that, so he did it at night. Okay, the next morning when the village woke up, they were pretty perturbed. Okay, the God that they had been worshiping, the God of Baal, had been torn down and burned to the ground, and the groves were cut down. So it was gone, and they came to Gideon's dad, And they complained to him and said, "You send out your son here and we're going to kill him. We're going to wipe him out." But Gideon's dad said, "Wait a second. If Baal's a real god, let him defend himself." And so Gideon started what he was doing. And then he comes up into this chapter. Now we're into chapter 7. And then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon. So if you see this name, Jerubbaal is talking about Gideon. Okay, his name is Gideon. All the people that were with him, they rose up early in the morning and they pitched by the well of Harod. Anyhow, that the host of the Midianites who were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel vaunt or brag about themselves against me, saying, 'Mine own hand has saved me.'" So here you see the picture. All right, we're going to look at this a little bit deeper here in a moment, but imagine this. God is doing a great work. The armies against Israel are gathering to go into Israel and to wipe them out. So you have, we're going to see in chapter 8, there's approximately 120,000 fighting men, Marines, top of the line, fighting men in the valley. Gideon, right now, he has 32,000 men that have gathered together and prepared for the battle. 32,000 men. But God says, "Hey, Gideon, even think of the math here. 120,000 against 32,000 still seems like they're a little outnumbered, right? It looks that way." Well, God says, "Hey, Gideon, you still got too many men. You got way too many men for me to get glory here. So what I need you to do is I need you, we're going to glean out some of this riffraff here. We're going to take some of these fighting men away." And so Gideon, he's obedient to the Lord. He's walking by faith. And as it said in verse 2, "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'You got too many people here to fight against the Midianites, that I would deliver them into your hand, lest they vaunt or brag about themselves against me, saying that mine own hand hath delivered me.'" Sometimes when there's too many people, you get to thinking you did something. Amen. Well, if this was a big church like the Father's House with 20,000 people in it and stuff like that, it'd be easy to say, "Well, we did that." Okay. But when God takes four people and shakes a community that they're scared of us, right, because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can say that it's God doing that, not anything, because we're of no threat in numbers. We're of no threat in stature or power here in this town. And any time that God uses a people, he uses the least of the people, not the most of the people. Amen. That he can get the glory. It's all about giving glory to God. And in verse 3, "Now, therefore, go and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead and return there of the people.'" And it says that 22,000 returned and it left 10,000 men. That's how we know that Gideon's army was 32,000. So you got this army of 32,000 men, and Gideon wakes up in the morning and says, "Hey, any of you guys who are afraid, you don't want to fight in the fight, go home." All right, 22,000 say, "See ya." Okay, that's a good thing for me. Imagine what Gideon's heart felt like right then, all right? Because he knows that he's facing 120,000 hardened warriors, right? And it, when he looks out, we'll look at it here in a minute. When he looked out, it was like there were grasshoppers over the land, locusts on the land. And the camels that they had were like the sands of the sea, the enemies were. So you look over into this valley and you see this vast amount of army. And you have just 22,000 measly little guys, farmers, right? And God says, "There's too many of them. What I want you to do is glean out some." He says, "Whoever's a chicken, who wants to go home? Who's afraid of losing their life? Go home." All of a sudden, 22,000 turn around. "Whew, man, I'm out of here. Thanks for the break. See you later." Oh, man. Imagine the heart of that warrior right there. The heart of that general saying, "Man, God, how are we going to do this now? 22,000 have just walked away. There's only 10,000 men left." But Gideon has faith. 10,000 men, we can do this. 10,000 men, they only outnumber us like 100 to 1. You know, that's no big deal. We're Israel. We can do that. And then the Lord said to Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto you, thee, this shall go with thee, and the same shall go there, shall go with thee, and whosoever I say will not go with thee, the same shall not go. So God says, I'm going to divide this out a little bit more. We're going to shrink down the numbers a little bit more, Gideon. There's still too many folks. And so Gideon did what the Lord said. He brought them down to the water. He brought all the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue like a dog laps, shalt thou set by himself. And likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink. So God says, all right, you bring the 10,000 men that you got down together again. All right. Put them out by the water. Every man come by. Steve, go get a drink. George, go get a drink. Cliff, go get a drink. And you watch how those men drink. All right. When the guy goes down, he gets on his all fours and he drinks like a dog. You put him in one pile. And then you take the guy who kneels down and drinks out of his hand, put him in another pile. 9,300 men lap like dogs. Okay? 9,300 men out of the 10,000 men. 9,006, sorry, my math is wrong. 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, there are 300 left, so there's 9,700 men. That drank like dogs. And God said, all right, I want you to set them to the side. So if you're Gideon, you're looking at the 300 little men, 9,000 men. 300 little men, 9,000. I want the 9,000, right? Wouldn't you be? I'm leaning on the 9,000 side because I know the army is 120,000 that are out to get me. All right, so I'm all right, God, you separated them out. Give me the larger bunch. I want to stand a fighting chance. Then God says, everybody that lapped like a dog, 9,700 of them, send them back to their tents. Oh, God, do I got to? Right? Think about that. God, and just put yourself in Gideon's place right there. Just for the second, just think about that. You know the army that's against you, right? You know the battle that you got to fight. You know that you're outnumbered by innumerable men that are hardened warriors. And now you're down to 300 farmers. Farmers, would you be a little afraid? Right? How are you going to fight this group of people? What are you going to do? I mean, really, are you going to go in there and say, charge, and you're going to run into 120,000 people with 300 farmers, right, and expect to come out victorious? Would it set a little bit of fear in your heart? Wouldn't you be a little afraid? I would be shaking in my boots. Amen. I know some things about battles. I know some things about military. I know how the structure and how mathematically things should work. This is an unwinnable war. Amen. This is something that you know you're going to go down with 300 guys and all of you are going to die in about 30 seconds. There's no way that you can win this battle. There's no way he can do it. And so after he brought them down and the 300, and the Lord said in verse 7, and the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man to his own place. And so the people took victuals in their hand and trumpets. These victuals were like a day pack. All right. You take your Alice pack. If you're in the military, you know what that is you got your rucksack, which is a big pack and has all your stuff. Then you got your Alice pack on the inside of that, which is just for like a day journey. All right. So you take the smaller pack. Oh, so you're not even going full blown into this battle. I mean, you're just taking enough for a couple of days. All right. You're taking enough just to make you survive for the next couple of days. In other words, again, you're thinking this is a suicide mission. God's going to call us down here and we're all going to die. You know, even though the Lord said, I'll deliver you, I know the flesh of man, he must have been crying in his heart. He says, take the victuals in their hands and their trumpets and send the rest of Israel into his own tent and retain those 300 men. And the host of Midian was neath in the valley. And it came to pass that same night, and praise God for this. I like this verse, I guess, more than any other, as much as any of them that we'll read. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto Gideon, him, arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. All right, so God's looking at this and he's saying, I'm going to deliver this massive army into these 300 men's hands. But if you're afraid, but if you're scared, if you still don't know, I want you to do something for me, Gideon. I want you to take one man, your armor there. I want you to take your right-hand man with you. And I want you to go down into close to the army that's against you. And so, like any military encampment, you would have had the main group of people. Then you would have had outposts stationed around normally north, south, east, west, and then halfway in between each of those guys should be another outcropping, another little camp to protect the main body of soldiers. And so they come down to one of those outcrops. It may have been as many as 100 outcrops around this camp of 120,000 fighting men. So they walk down. They do, because obviously Gideon was afraid. God said, if you're afraid, go and do this. In verse 10, but if thou fear, go down with Phurah, your servant, go down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward thine hands shall be strengthened to go down into the host. And when he went down with Phurah, his servant, into the to the outside of the armed men that were of the host, and so he went to the outer skirts of the camp. And he's squatting down there, all right? You imagine this? They're sneaking up, right? Because there's a huge army out in front of them. The glow of the campfire lights must have been enormous. 120 campfires down there. And so you see those off in the distance. And you're coming up and you know the perimeter guards are out there somewhere. And so you're sneaking up and you get up to where you can get close enough to one of them to just... Yeah, you hear them working and doing their things. And so in those kind of guard camps, they'd be two or three men in a group, and they would take turns watching the camp and being able to give an alarm if anything happens. And so they come up to this place, and out of any of the other camps that they could have little I'm trying to think of the name of it, but it's slipping my mind. Must not be important. Coming to the place where one of these centurion camps would be, where they're sentries and they're out there, they're setting up guard. And so he comes to one of these guard camps out of all of the guard camps that would have been out there. And in verse 12, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were in the valley, and they were like grasshoppers by the multitudes, and their camels were without number. They were as the sands of the sea. So anyhow, so you're understanding that they're sneaking into a very heavily armed, very large group of people. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told him of a dream, told it to his fellow soldier. And he said, behold, hey guy, hey George, man, I had a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled unto the host of the Midians, and it came into the tent, and it smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, and the tent laid along. All right, now here we are sitting around the campfire, me and Steve right there, and we're preparing for war to go against Israel. And all of a sudden, I'm saying, hey Steve, you know, last night I had this weird dream. I was dreaming there was a loaf of bread. Wonder loaf, okay, came rolling into the camp. Amen. Came into this camp. All of us are there, and it ran into a single tent. And that one loaf of bread, that one rolling piece of bread, knocked over the tent and laid it down. What'd you think about that? Well, I would say, hey, man, you must have been hungry. Should have had another meatloaf sandwich before you went to sleep, right? You were dreaming some weird stuff. And so... But his fellow servant answered him. Now, this is within earshot of Gideon and his servant. And his fellow servant answered him and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. For unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Wow. I don't know when. I don't know. Maybe it's because what I know about the military and stuff like that. This scene is astronomical. When you look at the size of the army and you look at the size of the stuff that was going on and you look at the situation that they just snuck up into, and out of all of the places that they had gone to talk, and they run into this guy that had this weird dream last night, and then the fellow who gives the interpretation of the dream mentions your name, Gideon. And he not only mentions your name, but he mentions your daddy name, your daddy's name. And it says that these guys are, God's already delivered us into their hand. Wouldn't that, if you're Gideon, how do you feel now? I mean, you came down out of the mountains scared to death, right? Just not knowing what was going to go on. Although the Lord had told you, if you go down, I'm going to give you some good news. But still, he said, if you're afraid, go down and I'll give you good news. And so he went down because he was afraid. He didn't know what was going to go happening the next day. How was 300 men going to come against 120,000 soldiers? How are you going to do that? So he comes down, and out of all the possibilities, out of all the camps that were around, he runs into this one particular camp with these two particular people talking about a weird dream, and the interpretation is that you, Gideon, who happens to be one out of all of the people of Israel, known by name, known by your father's name, so there is no mistake that it was another Gideon, and you're going to be victorious in the battle. Wow. That'd give you some courage, wouldn't it? It would give me courage. Well, then now he goes back up the hill and he has a lot of faith. He has faith in what God is going to do because of what the other man answered. And that's verse 14. And in verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped. Amen. So he wasn't filled with pride. He gave thanks to God, like we were talking about this morning. Giving thanks to God in all things. And so Gideon, this is unbelievable in our mind. But Gideon said, thank you, Lord. He said, praise God. Man, now I have faith. Now I have enough vision to do what you've called me to. And he worshiped God. And then he returned back to the armies of Israel. And he told the men to arise. For the Lord hath delivered into our hands the host of Midian. And he delivered... He divided the three men into three companies, so that's 100 each, right? I'm no mathematician, but it makes it simple. Three companies, 100 each. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand, and an empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. All right, now hold on. 300 guys, you're going to go attack 120,000 trained army men. All right? He didn't say that he put swords in their hands. Right? He didn't put bow and arrows in their hands. He didn't give them tanks to drive. Didn't give them chariots to ride on. He gave them empty pitchers with oil lamps in it. Okay, this is how we're going to defeat these people? 120,000 trained, hardcore, 82nd airborne kind of guys, right? Jump off foot lockers and eat worms. Tougher than nails. These are the Navy SEALs of the Middle East, way back then. These were vicious fighting men. All right, you're going to go fight them, 300 guys against this enormous army, and all you're bringing is trumpets, all right, and pitchers with lamps in it? Really? All right, just imagine if you were the soldiers in that group of people. All right, Gideon, we're ready to go. I got my sword. I got my M16 in my hand. I'm ready to go fight. Let's go down. Let's go kill some people. Gideon says, no, here's a trumpet. Here's a bugle. A bugle? What am I going to do with a bugle? Hold on. I haven't finished. Oh, good. The next thing I'm going to get is going to be really powerful, right? It's going to be a bazooka. I'm going to be able to blow these people up. Maybe a flamethrower. I don't know. I'm going to have this great weapon. Oh, here's an empty pitcher. Oh, dude. All right, empty pitcher and trumpet. You told me a lantern on the inside of that? Really? Really? You want? Okay. All right. So let's go to battle with it. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Amen. Here's my handle. Here's my spout. When I get all steamed up, you can hear me shout. So tip me over and pour me out. What an idea to go into a battle like this. I don't know if I don't know. It blows me away. It blows my mind is just, as I was going over this again today, it was just freaking me out. And so he divided them up into three different camps of 100 each. And he gave them these wonderful tools of war, a trumpet and an empty pitcher with a lamp in it. And in verse 17, he said unto them, you look unto me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, and it shall be that as I do, so ye do. So shall ye do. And it says, now, all right, everybody huddle up. Here's the battle plan. Whatever you see me do, do it. All right.
To me, this just, it blows my mind. Whatever you see me do, y'all do it too. Well, what are you going to do? Whatever you see me do, you do it.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Let's go hunting. I will go, right? And so, and when I blow my trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then you blow your trumpets also on every side all around the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. We're all going to get down there. We're going to surround the camp. 120,000 people. We're going to be on the outside of the camp, outside of their guards, the perimeter guards. We're going to go out there and we're going to blow our trumpet. Amen? That's our battle plan. All right, and I'm going to start. So my 100 men are going to be over here. I'm going to start. When you hear me, then all of you guys, you blow your... So even if you look at the size, I don't know if you got a map there, you look at the size of the Valley of Jezreel. And so you only have 300 men to circle this whole valley. Only 300 to circle the whole valley. So I am not even standing in the dark close enough to see him. Okay, I can't see him from where I'm standing. We are our line, our battle line is spread paper thin, right? It should have been far enough apart that anyone could walk in between you and I. And if he's a good scout, we wouldn't even hear him. Be like me and you hunting coyotes, right? And the coyote come right, walk right in between us. We not even know it because they're trained warriors, all right? And so these lines are spread super thin over a large amount. They were so far apart that they had to listen to a horn blow. They couldn't even say, hey, it's time to do it. They had to do it by a horn blast. All right, and so just to give you an idea, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but this is a crazy plan. It's not unlike Jericho, marching around Jericho for 7 days until the walls fall down, right? Only then you had a standing army. There was a lot of men that were marching around Jericho, and there were priests and there were singers. It was a bunch of people. This is 300 against 120,000. All right, and so he divided the 300 men in verse 16 into three companies, and he put trumpets, and he said unto them, and we got the battle plan. And verse 19, and so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. In other words, about 12 o'clock at night, the middle watch, or 1 o'clock in the morning. And they had put newly set watch. All right, so okay, now catch this. It's a new set watch. So they have fresh guards. A new watch is out there. The old guys who should have been tired and maybe groggy because they'd been up for a long time, middle of the night, they were wanting to go to bed. Now the new watch, so they got brand new fresh guards. Brand new fresh guards in the place. All right, so we're not even talking about folks who were even sleepy in the least bit. These were men prepared for the fight. And they were newly, and they set watch. And they blew the trumpets, and they broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies, they blew their trumpets, and they broke the pitchers that they held, that held the lamps in their left hands. And they blew the trumpet with their right hands with awe. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood, every man in his place, all around the camp. And now, they didn't even run into the camp. All they did is stand around, crash, break the camp of the thing, and they got these just 300 lights turned on around the camp, and they all cry out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That's all they did. That was the battle plan. That's all. Nothing else. Didn't say charge. They just stood their ground with their lamp and a broken pot. Okay? And the trumpet. All right, we're prepared for battle now. They got a lamp, we got a horn, and we got a broken pot. I'm going to cut you with my shard of glass here. I'm prepared for the battle. Does it sound crazy to you yet? Sounds crazy to me. And the men of Israel, they gathered themselves together. Oh, wait a second, I jumped too far. Three companies and 21, and stood every man in their place round about the pot, and 22. And the 300 blew their trumpets, and the Lord set every man every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all of the host. And the host fled to Beth Shitza and in Zer, that place. And the border of, I love these towns. In the border of Caledonia and all the way over to Mumford. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh, and they pursued after the Midianites. And so, all right, here's the battle plan. Now, check this out. Men who fight in battles together, their closest friend is the man who's to the right side. They sleep with them. They eat with them. Now, all of a sudden, you got this thing going on, people blowing trumpets and screaming about the Lord and the sword of Gideon, right? And a couple headlights pop on. And all of a sudden, I take my sword and I run it through my very best friend. Because that's what they did. They drew their swords, and the battle was on the inside of the camp, and they turned against each other. And they killed one another. They beat each other so bad that they fled from themselves, because Gideon was only 300 men against 120,000. Talk about a miracle from God, right? You just think about that. And then the other tribes of Naphtali and Asher and Manasseh, and they pursued after the Midianites. And God sent messengers throughout the Mount of Ephraim saying, come down against the Midianites and take them before the waters of Bethbara in Jordan. And then all of the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and they took the waters of Bethbara and Jordan, and they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zereb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew in the winepress of Zeb. And they pursued the Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. And so, what a wonderful battle that was. I mean, think about it. It started with 300 men, started with one man doing the impossible. Because really, that's what he did. What he did was absolutely impossible. It was improbable. He couldn't do what he did. But he did what he did, even if he couldn't do what he did. That makes sense? God is good, ain't he? And he accomplished things that only God could do through him. How did Gideon do this? He did it through a simple obedience. He faced his fear. God, I can't do this. I can't do this. What you're asking me to do is beyond what my ability to do is. And God said, don't worry, I'll be with you. God said, I'm going to test you. I'm going to find out if you really believe me for who I am. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to test you on a low scale. All right. First thing I'm going to do is tell you to tear down your daddy's barns and you be a man of your own. All right. You stand up and you be a man. You take on the mantle of Christianhood. You be a man and you step out and you do what you need to do. Amen. So he went and he did that. God said, I'll honor you for that. I'll protect your life. Next thing I want you to do, now the big fight comes. I want you to gather just your 300 men. I want you to glean down everybody. You got 300 men. I want you to stand against 120,000 Marines. All right. And I want you to stand against them with a trumpet and an empty pitcher with a lamp. You're ever ready. I hope your bunny, boom, 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 ever ready, bunny. Yeah, and with your lantern. And all I want you to do is stand there and holler and blow your trumpet. And that's all. He did that, and God delivered all those people. God had them so confused, so scared. He had already prepared the hearts of the enemy to be afraid of Gideon before the battle ever started. And God brought a great victory. Now, the reason that God did it with 300, not 20,000 or 10,000 or 9,700 men, the reason he did it like that is that he would get all of the glory. Gideon cannot stand up and pound himself on the chest and say, look at the victory that I did. The men of Israel couldn't stand up and pound on their chest and say, look at the victory. In fact, they didn't even have blood on their hands. Gideon and the 300, they just had a little bit of potash, you know, when they broke the pots and the little bit of smoke soot got on them. That's all they had on them. And God delivered the armies into their hands. If we would just but walk by faith. Really, and is it the same God today as it is then? Absolutely it is. He absolutely is the same then as he is today. I believe that God is still looking for men and women like Gideon that will do the crazy thing. that will walk by faith and not by sight, that will look into the face of danger and say, yes, Lord, I'll go. I'll go. I'll do what you. I'll do that. I might die. Even if I die, I'll do that anyhow. Don't see how it's going to work, but God, I trust you. Trust you more than what I see. And then God does miraculous things. He did miraculous things then. He'll do miraculous things now. Next week we'll open up with chapter 8 and work our way through that also. So praise God. I pray that you'll do what the Lord has called you to. I pray that we would, this body, all five of us here tonight, I pray that we would be that Gideon's army, that we would be men and women unafraid to do the things that God has called us to. Remember, he didn't do anything silly. He did everything by faith. He didn't do anything in and of his own power. He did everything through the power of Jesus Christ. Don't try to fight these things on your own. Only go where God sends you. And when he sends you somewhere, regardless of the impossibilities, he'll see you through that place. Amen. And he wants you. He wants you to work for him and live for him. And we just thank you for the. I thank you for your time. And it is snowing like crazy outside. And so praise God. We go ahead and shut her down.